Hi, and thank you for downloading this podcast from Millpool Hill Church, Birmingham. My name is Richard Pidgley, and I'm the minister at the church. Today we're looking at spiritual gifts, part two. We recently looked in part one at the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and we understood that God gives the gifts of the Holy Spirit through his Spirit in the local church so that we can exalt the Lord Jesus, so that we can encourage one another, and so that we can bring edification, that is, building up the local church as well. We learned that the Holy Spirit gives a gift to each one of us, and so that in church life, it's not so much about spectating, but all of us participating. And the great news is this, is that through the Holy Spirit, we can all be involved. We all have something that has been imparted supernaturally in our lives so that we can bring encouragement to others and glorify the Lord Jesus as we come together in church meetings. Last time we looked at the revelation gifts. We looked at the word of knowledge, when God takes some of his omniscience, that's his all-knowing power, and drops that into our minds. It's a great gift, particularly in evangelism. God also gave us the word of wisdom, which is helping us to understand how to act upon the knowledge that he gives us. And another gift in the category of revelation gifts is the gift of discerning of spirits. Not a gift of suspicion, but rather a clear understanding of what spirit is manifesting behind any given situation. This gift is given to protect us as the people of God from the works of the enemy. The Apostle Paul said the enemy can even appear like an angel of light. And so the gift of discerning of spirits can help us and protect us, so we can know that at any given time when somebody is speaking and trying to direct us, that this is from God, this is from man's heart, or this is something from the enemy to distract us. Today we're going to look at the power gifts of the Holy Spirit. The power gifts are categorized really as faith, as healings, and miracles. Let's start by looking at faith. The gift of faith can be described as a solid belief that something is a done deal by the power and authority of God. When you exercise the gift of faith, you have total assurance that God will do what you've asked him to do or what he's promised in his word. It's sorted. It's a done deal. The gift of faith is his absolute rock solid assurance that God will come through and do what he's promised. If God has told you that he is going to make a way where there seems no way, even though everybody else is saying it'll never happen, you'll never get through that situation, you'll never be able to kind of move forward when all these things are stacked against you. If God says he's going to make a way, the gift of faith says to you, this will happen. It doesn't matter if a million people tell you otherwise. God has spoken. You have the word of the Lord and you have this rock solid understanding, expectancy and faith to believe that God will come through on his promise. That's the gift of faith. You have a total assurance that God will be faithful. He will do it. It is a done deal. Now, in one essence, we're already using faith in our lives. All of us are, because we have natural faith. Natural faith is often seen in the everyday things of life. Like, for instance, when we wake up in the morning, we sometimes wake up but our eyes are still shut and we don't want to get out of bed, but we know that we've got to get out of bed because we've got responsibilities and there's stuff to do. So we kind of slide our legs out from the edge of the bed and then we go to put our feet upon the carpet or the floorboards of our bedroom. And as we do that, we have faith to believe that there is a floor there that will hold us up. And as our feet touch the floor, first thing in the morning, our natural faith says, this floor will keep you up and you won't just kind of fall into oblivion when you get out of bed. My natural faith says, when I go into the shower in the morning and I turn on the shower, as I turn the tap on the shower, my faith says, my natural faith, there will be water that's going to come out of that pipe and it's going to help me to be refreshed. Hopefully it's going to be nice warm water, hot water for my morning shower as well. So that's a kind of natural faith. And in lots of things in life, we have natural faith operating at all sorts of levels. And then we have another faith, which is referred to as saving faith. This is the faith that God imparts in our hearts. And it's a faith that I guess we didn't really know we had, but it's exercised and it's manifested at the point when we come to Christ for salvation. It's a faith that God gives us as a gift, and it causes us to be able to reach out to Him and receive Christ as our Saviour. It's a faith that is a saving faith. Up until that point, we were just kind of operating in a natural faith. And then we heard about Jesus. We heard about how Jesus can turn our lives around. We heard through the Bible or through the preacher or through a message that we've listened to on a tape or a podcast like this, or maybe somebody speaking to us over a cup of tea or coffee about the Lord Jesus and how He can transform our lives, how He can take our lives from darkness to light, from emptiness to fullness, from captivity to liberty, how He can transform things for us and do amazing things for us that nobody else can do, and how He died on a cross 2,000 years ago. He bled and He died on that Roman cross. Why? Because He was paying a price for your wrongdoing and my wrongdoing. In fact, He paid the price for the sins of the whole world. He effectively died in our place. And as we are presented with this gospel, we come to an understanding that we are sinful, that we are away from God, and that we are desperate for God's help and intervention in our lives. And the Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how do we call upon Him? Surely that takes faith. Yes, it does. Somehow you got to reach up your hand as you're sinking and believe that from heaven a hand is going to reach down and pull you up out of whatever you're sinking in, whether it's water or some miry quicksand or whatever. But that's the kind of picture that we're in. We're kind of sinking in the mire of this world's sinfulness and immorality and just the wickedness of this world. We're all sinking in this. And now we've heard that there is a saviour. There is someone who can pull us out of the sinking sand. There is someone who can pull us out of the deep waters of trouble. His name is Jesus. He is the Son of God. He loved us. He died for us upon the cross. He can do something amazing for us that nobody else can do. He can bring forgiveness. He can give a new start in life. And when we hear all that, we respond. We say, we want this. And that desire to be saved and that faith to believe that Christ loved us and died for us, that is saving faith. And it comes from God. And it's imparted miraculously into the hearts of men and women. And it's a saving faith. So it's different to natural faith. It's very much a saving faith because it is a faith in someone that you haven't yet seen with your eyes. One day we'll see Him in heaven, but you believe that He's absolutely real and that His death upon the cross paid the price for your wrongdoing. And you just know that you got a call out to Him. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved, shall be forgiven, shall be given a brand new life, a new start in life altogether, shall have the assurance of heaven, shall be filled with God's love and peace and joy, and shall start an extraordinary life of faith in following Jesus. Amazing. Well, that's saving faith, and that's amazing. But the gift of faith takes us to the next level, because that's when we just know that something will be done by the power of God. It's already sorted. When Jesus healed some people, he spoke the word of faith over them. Jesus said, get up. He didn't lay hands on everybody, but he just said, get up and walk. Pick up your bed and go home. And to some lepers who were filled with this terrible skin disease, he didn't go lay hands on all of them, but he just said, go and present yourself to the priest. And on the way, as they went, they were healed. One time, a centurion said to Jesus, because he was concerned about a servant in his house that was very, very poorly, the centurion came to Jesus, believing that Jesus was the healer, believing that Jesus could do something amazing for his servant, whom the centurion obviously loved and cared for and valued. And the centurion said, Jesus, you don't need to come to my house, and you don't need to lay hands upon this guy that's ill. All you need to do is just speak the word, and I know that this guy who's sick miles away in my house will be made well. And what the servant was basically saying was, when you say he's healed, then he will be healed. And the centurion was operating, as it were, in this gift of faith. And sure enough, when Jesus spoke the word, the centurion got home. And when he got home, he found, just as he had expected, because he believed it, the servant was totally well. And the centurion said, well, when did he get well? And they said, at such and such time. And it was at the time he had believed that Jesus had spoken the word, he'll be well. And that was a done deal. How amazing. So the gift of faith is when we really believe that God is coming through for us. He will do what he says he will do. Faith is described like a muscle. We need to exercise our faith for it to grow. We grow in faith as we learn to trust God. If you don't use the faith you already have, it's unlikely that you will move in the gift of faith. So we have saving faith and we grow in our faith, but if you want to operate in the gift of faith, you need to use your faith as much as possible. And sometimes it's not just expecting God for just these amazing, big, miraculous things to happen. We have to kind of grow into our faith. We exercise our natural muscles, and we need to exercise our spiritual muscles as well. So that's the gift of faith. What about the gift of healings? Well, the gift of healing can be described literally as God imparting divine health to an individual, either instantaneously or gradually. The gift of healing is often seen when we pray for folk that are feeling sick. The gift of healing is often accompanied, though, with a great compassion for others. When we have the gift of healing operating in us, when we see others that are feeling ill and sick, we have empathy, and we have a deep move and a kind of feeling of overwhelming compassion for them. There is an exceptional kind of feeling of compassion and faith to believe that this person can be healed. So the gift of healing is when we pray for people that are feeling sick. It's often accompanied with compassion for that person. And we pray in faith. And as we pray in faith with compassion and love for those that are sick, the gift of healing is often imparted then to the person that is feeling unwell. Now, this gift should not be used in a theatrical way. And maybe on the internet and on kind of TV shows and other forums, you've seen the gift of healings used, and it's almost theatrical, you know, and the TV camera is in the face of a suffering person, and the evangelist or whoever it is comes along, and there's a big kind of show about it all. And I don't believe that's how God really wants this gift to be used. Our motivation in this gift is love. It's not to score brownie points. It's not to make us look any more powerful or better than anybody else in the body of Christ. Our motivation should be love. We operate in this gift in faith, in humility, and gentleness. If you feel that you have a sense of deep compassion for somebody feeling unwell, and this compassion is coupled with a growing faith that God will heal them, this is a usual sign that you probably have the anointing to pray for the person who is sick to be healed. I think this wonderful gift can be used when we go to visit those that are sick and housebound, but it can also be used often in local church experience when we share communion together. After all, doesn't the scripture tell us that through his stripes we are healed? And as we take bread and wine together on a regular basis in church, as we break bread and have communion or the Lord's Supper, whilst we come out to the front and we take the emblems of the bread and wine, what a great opportunity if you feel compassion and if you feel faith rising in your heart for somebody that's feeling sick and that you just know God can heal them, and you're feeling led by the Holy Spirit, why not go up to them quietly? Not in a theatrical way, but just quietly in the spirit of humility and ask if you could pray for them. Would it be okay if I could pray for your healing? And wouldn't it be wonderful if you could just quietly pray for them whilst you're gathered together around the communion table, and God then imparts a gift of healing into that person that is feeling unwell? That's the gift of healings. What about miracles? Well, the gift of miracles can be described as the power of God doing something contrary to normal natural laws, such as a car still running maybe for miles on an empty petrol tank, or a wild storm suddenly stopping to a perfect calm. The gift of miracles could be confused with faith and healings. Why? Because it seems similar. Faith and healings are when we watch God do what only he can do, whilst miracles often flow when we work in partnership with God. For instance, when Jesus fed the 5,000, he gave thanks to God for those few loaves of bread and those little fishes that he had, literally a boy's picnic lunch. He gave thanks for that, and he gave what he had then to the disciples. The disciples worked in partnership with God, and they did what Jesus told them to do, and they gave what they had then to the people. But as they went giving out to the people, obeying Jesus, give this to the people, they found that actually it just kept coming. And 5,000 people were fed adequately on a little boy's picnic lunch. Miracles then usually manifest when we have heard specific instructions from God and we obey them. For example, when Elijah was on Mount Carmel and he was having the showdown with the prophets of Baal, he basically did a whole load of things, preparing a sacrifice and then pouring water upon his sacrifice, and then the fire of God came down and burnt up the sacrifice, and all the Jewish people, the Israelites, they turned and said, God is the Lord, and they came back to the Lord, and there was a revival. Well, Elijah, before he did all that, he said, thank you, Father, that you're here and I've done all these things at your command. Now let your fire fall. And basically what Elijah gives to us in this is that he had done all these things. He was working in obedience to God, and then the miracle happened. So the power gifts of the Holy Spirit are really exciting and important in our church, and we should pray for them and be prepared to work with the Lord in these things. May the Lord bless you and give you a hunger for spiritual things in your life. Amen.